The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Let's start with those Houston Texans.
Let's do that.
If you want fans to stay for the whole game, here's a crazy idea. Put a product on the field that warrants sticking around for.
It's not just that they played like crap. Fans had seen seven quarters of this. Everybody watched that Minnesota game last week. Then you watch the first half here and you see the same team we saw on the field there. There was one significant difference. Minnesota's really good. The Colts aren't. What are the odds that UH ever gets in a Power 5 conference after getting passed over? It depends on if they keep spending money and doing what they're doing. The Big 12 is such a reactionary league. I expect somebody else to expand first. When that happens, then they'll do it. I still think it would be a really beneficial thing for the Pac-12 to get in here.
There's certain teams that have big pieces of pie and don't want to share that piece of pie. Well, when the pie's divvied up 12 ways already, they're not looking to make their piece of pie any smaller.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow, with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first 2 hours, that's some of what you missed. We had a lot of Texans talk in the first hour, hit on the Cowboys quite a bit. We did all the NFL games at 5 o'clock. Stanford Route joined us at 5:30, and then we just had Gym of the Day. We've not really we did get into the UH and the Big 12 and some detail on that, and I think really all the detail we need to get into because nothing happened. So, you know, it's to me, it's not really news. But we'll get some college football here. But before we do, I have a clown update for you.
Okay. Positive news?
It depends on your perspective. Our friends at Pornhub have weighed in.
Okay. Is there clown porn?
Apparently, searches for clown porn have gone up over 200% since this started. 213%, to be perfectly accurate, just from when this started in late September to October 9th, it had spiked 213%. Would you like to know some of the popular clown searches?
I would.
Here's another stat they say. Women are 33% more likely to search for clowns than men.
So I don't even know what that could possibly mean.
Well,
that's disturbing, though.
Here's the most popular searches: clown porn, clown girl, clown gang thing, which that frightens me. The idea of a clown, yeah, and then just clowns, clown sex, crazy clown, sexy clown. All right, now who's searching for this in their porn? Scary clown, killer clown, clown orgy. That I can see.
See to them.
Then they all come piling out of the car.
Freak.
Little person clown. And I might have to search. Clown circus. Lesbian clown. Birthday clown. And then clown feet. So, now you know. It's out there.
It's there. It's a thing.
It is. And that is your clown update for the day. In case you weren't already freaked out. All right, let's talk a little college football because there were a lot of good games this weekend that we didn't get to. And I think that Ohio State-Wisconsin game told me a lot about the Wisconsin's better not give them credit for, and they get you to play their game. And that's what they did to Ohio State, and I thought that was a good win for Ohio State, frankly.
It was solid. I mean, a game that they could have easily lost. against a really good team. Wisconsin's still a really good team. I don't know if, you know, they've lost back-to-back games now, but they lost to Michigan and Ohio State.
Yeah, and played them both tough.
I don't think they're going to lose another game. But, that, I mean, what are they playing for now at this point? That's kind of what's tough about that.
Well, I think if there's certainly a chance at a good bowl game for
but,
them.
But I think Ohio State's gotten to where now, especially given the way that Michigan State has just fallen apart. And I don't believe in Nebraska. I mean, at least not Nebraska against a really quality team.
It gets those teams, yeah.
But Ohio State's now gotten past Oklahoma and Wisconsin. And it, to me, it pretty much leaves one real test left on their schedule, and that's Michigan. I guess at Penn State won't be easy, but I think that's a win for them.
Yeah, that's.
So I think they're down to where they're just basically rolling through. And that if Ohio State and Michigan play late November, both undefeated, I mean, that'll be a massive ratings game, and you'll be watching a game where, I mean, basically a playoff game.
Yeah.
Because it's unlikely that both those teams will get in when only one of them, because they're in the same division of the Big Ten. So,
that might be where our test case comes from for that, because if you have if let's say Michigan wins by three in just this absolute great game, and Ohio State's only got the one loss, and you've got a bunch of one-loss champions, that'll be a good test case for the committee.
Clemson, especially because Ohio State has a win over Oklahoma, a non-conference win over Oklahoma that, you know, should theoretically give them a big boost. And so Michigan, you know, looking back at their schedule now, that win that they have over Colorado is a pretty solid win. And people at the time, they only beat Colorado by 17 points. Meanwhile, Colorado's 5-2. They're pretty damn good.
Yeah, that's not with some pretty solid wins.
Yeah, that's not a bad loss or not a bad win for Michigan on their schedule.
I really wish they'd split the divisions differently in the Big Ten.
Oh, they were so dumb when they did that. I mean, the three most consistent teams in that conference are Michigan, Ohio State, and Michigan State, and they're all in the same same division. It's very dumb.
Well, Clemson almost pulled a Clemson, beating North Carolina State in overtime.
They should have. I mean, they had no business winning that game, and I'm never going to get over it. Rushing the field after every game is so dumb, and it's even dumber when you barely edge out a team like North Carolina State. It looks even more foolish. It's the stupidest tradition, one of the stupidest traditions in college football. It needs to be over with. They didn't deserve to win that game. North Carolina State, the field goal kicker misses three kicks, including one at the end to win it. To me, Clemson is, if the playoffs started today, Clemson wouldn't be in it for me.
I'm going to drop them quite a bit tomorrow. I haven't decided where yet, but
I mean, you can only drop them so far because
there's not everybody else has losses.
They're still 7-0, and they beat Louisville, but and they beat Auburn, and both
and those are looking like
quality wins.
Yeah,
but that team to me is not. You can't trust them.
Well, you can sure trust Alabama because they just went in and
they don't leave much doubt, do they?
No, they don't. When they get out to a fast start like that, they're just light years ahead of everybody right now. I don't think it's close between first and second. Doesn't mean they're going to win the whole thing.
They probably will, though.
They probably will. And I think all this stuff about who else gets in is going to be meaningless.
Alabama, the scariest thing about Alabama is they are getting really elite quarterback play.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of these Alabama teams, with the exception of the A.J. McCarron years, everybody's like, if Alabama had a quarterback, imagine how great they'd be. Well, they've got one again, and that makes Alabama scary. When Alabama has good quarterback play, they're damn near unbeatable, and they've got good quarterback play right now.
Nebraska beats Indiana 27-22. I'm just not sold on Nebraska, but Indiana's gotten better. That's a better football team.
Yeah.
Just weren't quite good enough to.
I needed Indiana to cover three, and they can't, or 3.5. They came up just short. That's a bummer.
Baylor house Kansas 49-7. You don't need to say much about that. Kansas is awful, and you know Baylor's gonna roll right. They're gonna get to 7-0 pretty easily, and then it gets harder. We'll see what they are then.
That's sad that at Texas is 7-0 is pretty easy. You're probably right.
Well, they're off this week, so.
But that's their next game.
Texas is next. Okay, I thought they had one more.
I think it's going to get tougher starting now because at Texas.
That'll be tough.
Texas isn't good.
They can score, though.
They can score points, and that's at Texas. And then
wonder what the over-under will be on that.
I don't know. But they've gotten through the softest part of their schedule. You know, they at Texas might be – well, and then home to Texas Tech, that's probably their easiest games remaining.
Yeah.
That's not a cakewalk. They've had one tough game so far, and it was Oklahoma State, and it looked like a tough game. And then they had a game that shouldn't have been tough that looked tough against Iowa State. So we'll start to see what Baylor's made of.
Arkansas beats Mississippi 34-30.
That's a big win for Arkansas, man.
It is.
Huge win and a big loss for Ole Miss.
And they didn't drop out with a 3-3 record. At some point, are we just wrong about them?
I mean,
they look good.
I let them back into my top 25. They do look good, and they've not been blown out, and they don't have a bad loss yet, but they don't really have a great win either. So far, their best win is Georgia, who just lost to Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe we should slow down about Ole Miss. I think we like them because they have a good quarterback, and that makes it where they can win any given week. I still think that game against Texas A&M is going to be a really good game. And that's A&M's one test besides Alabama that I see. So... maybe we'll know more about them then. Their next couple games are at LSU and Auburn. Those are kind of middle of the road SEC West teams. So we'll see what Ole Miss is.
Yeah, you should be able to beat those teams though, theoretically. Of course, I would throw Arkansas in there.
I would too,
and they didn't do it.
Although Arkansas, I mean, when you really think about it, they lost to Texas A&M and Alabama.
Yeah,
who are clearly the best teams in the SEC West.
With wins over TCU and now Mississippi.
So. Maybe Arkansas is really good. They just lost to two better teams. They're at Auburn next, too, so that'll be a good test for them.
UH beats Tulsa 38-31.
Boy.
There's no way that game should have been that close. I don't know what the hell was going on with them, but get a big defensive play and then let Tulsa march right down the field.
Man, I actually almost bet the Cougs, and I'm so glad I did not. I've been so mad at that performance. Greg Ward just sucked. I think we can... You know, I think officially last week we decided to stop talking about him as a Heisman candidate.
Yeah, after that game,
there's zero chance. I mean, he ran the ball well, but
he didn't look good. And they really, really missed Tyus Bowser on defense. I don't know how you get knocked out by a teammate and have to have surgery, but
that happens all the time, friend.
But that's a guy who can stop the run in addition to get pressure on the quarterback. Really good athletic guy. And I think what we're seeing is what you and I talked about. With this team early on early in the season, they're probably going to be better because they'll be healthy. They don't have the depth that some of these other teams do. And as we start seeing players fall off, suddenly you see them in a life and death battle with Tulsa.
Yep.
Florida State beats Wake Forest 17-6. I'm just not sure what to make of Florida State either. I would have thought they would have handled Wake Forest a little better than that, but Wake Forest has been okay this year. I mean, they got a couple pretty good wins. Boise over Colorado State. Barely.
Yeah.
That might have been their one chance to lose. Syracuse beat Virginia Tech. Where did that come from?
Well, I had Syracuse covering. I didn't think they were going to win, but my goodness.
Yeah. Virginia Tech, man, for some reason, that's a school that always... There's always one game where you just kind of go, what? Where'd that come from? Florida beats Missouri 40-14. OU beat Kansas State, and I thought Kansas State would cover. That was one of my mini misses on Saturday.
I missed that one, too.
West Virginia, who I think is going to take a huge jump in my poll this week, goes in and beats Texas Tech 48-17. And I tell you what, they got some pretty good wins on their resume. They beat Kansas State. It was close, but they pulled it out. They beat BYU. And they shut down this Texas Tech team. And I think West Virginia might be one of those teams that's got enough defense to actually do this. So we shall see. All right. We should probably go to break. We got a couple more games to talk about, and that's it.
All right, guys. Got to tell you one more time about attorney Gary Trichter. And if you found yourself accused of DWI, even if you failed the breath or blood test, it's not the end of the world. You could go to the Yellow Pages and grab some Joe Schmo lawyer out of there and he'll go in and he'll plead guilty for you, and he'll hope that he's got a good relationship with the judge and maybe they'll go easy on you. Or you could go with a lawyer who's actually going to fight for you and try to defend your rights. And that's where attorney Gary Trichter comes in. He's a DWI specialist right here in Houston. He's experienced in telling the truth about the science, the faulty science behind police blood tests and police breath tests. He's one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the entire state, and he's right here in Houston. If you failed the breath or blood test, DWI, DUI, or boating while intoxicated, call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone right now, 713-524-1010, or visit texasdwilaw.com. Don't go with just some schmo who, you know, there's too much at risk when it comes to a DWI. It can tarnish your reputation. It can cost you your job. It can cost you your car. Cost you a lot of money. That's why you need the right guy, and that's attorney Gary Trichter. 713-524-1010 for attorney Gary Trichter. All my friends are heathens, take it slow. Wait for them to ask you who you know.
Please don't make any sudden moves. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. But I told you. Renters Warehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz.
I have to read that thing, right, John?
Not till 6:45 is usually when we do it.
Oh, okay. So, well, never mind.
You can do it now if you want.
Let me just do it now because I'm thinking about it. Okay. I'll get it out of the way. Otherwise, I'll forget, Fred.
Okay.
Dick's Sporting Goods, it's coming to Houston. You may notice all those throbbing, bulbous blimps floating around. It says Dick's on the side. It's because Dick's Sporting Goods is coming. We're excited about the new grand opening of Dick's this weekend. I'll be hanging out at the new Dick's Sporting Goods store located at Willowbrook Mall Saturday from 1 until 3. And I do believe I'll be out there with Rockets legend Mario Elie. We're going to be giving away a ton of stuff, so come check it out. Willowbrook Mall, 1 to 3 on Saturday.
He was a wicked, wicked man, according to Akeem Olajuwon.
Yeah?
Yeah, after he hit that the Kiss of Death 3. That's what Olajuwon called him.
Well, there you go.
A wicked, wicked man. All right, so a couple of games left to clean up from the top 25. Utah beats Oregon State on its, eighth running back.
Yeah.
Joe Williams had retired, comes back, 179 yards rushing, and Utah wins that one 19-14. So Utes are 6-1.
Yep, pretty solid.
And Western Michigan just keeps killing people, 41-0 over Akron.
Can we stop real quickly, just mention that Colorado and Utah, good additions to the Pac-12. When you talk about, I mean, how quickly they've adapted and really just become...
Well, it's taken Colorado a little while now. This is the first year that they haven't been just absolutely abysmal.
No, they weren't. They were all right last year. This is the second year they weren't absolutely abysmal.
I thought they were pretty bad last year too.
No, not the bad they were the first few years, but I think it's impressive that they've gotten it together, because sometimes it's very difficult for teams like that. Well, Colorado came from a big conference, but they were just, I mean, they were
already a mess when they went there, but.
To their credit, they've kind of turned that program around into at least a respectable program. Not quite national championship material yet, but...
No, if they could get where they could actually compete for their division, that would be a big start.
I just looked at their record. They were 4-9 last year.
Yeah.
They felt better than they had before.
I thought they were pretty bad.
So. Maybe they were just good against the spread. Maybe clouding my judgment of what kind of team
they were. This is the first year they've been in the Pac-12 that they're even going to threaten 500.
Good for them.
Some teams outside the top 25. Hey, your Longhorns actually
beat Iowa State. They won their bye week game.
I was looking at the rest of their schedule. And, all right, so they're 3-3. What do you think their final record's going to be? Because I thought they could win 8 or 9 games before the season.
That's not going to happen.
And I think it's pretty safe to say that that's not happening. At Kansas State, I could easily see them losing that.
Yeah.
Baylor at home.
They could lose that.
I could see them winning both those, too. At Texas Tech.
I mean, couldn't you say that about basically every game left on their schedule?
Except at Kansas, they'll win that.
Yeah, but we don't really know what this team is. I mean, that's kind
that's of the thing. Yeah, Kansas State, Baylor, Tech, West Virginia, TCU, all those would be.
Here's what we know about Texas.
Coin flip games.
They suck on defense, but they can score a lot of points against everybody. So, who knows? I don't know what. I know they're going to win 9 games. I don't believe that.
No.
I mean, I don't think they're going to win the rest of them. But are they going to be bowl eligible?
I don't even know. I don't know if they'll wind up with six wins or 8 wins.
I mean, I could honestly see anywhere between 5 and 9.
Yeah.
Maybe 5 and 8.
Yeah, I think 8's a ceiling.
Which is pretty crazy, but yeah.
Yeah, but it's not what you expect out of Texas.
Yeah.
Somebody says, whoa, the UTD is legit. No, it's not.
No. It was supposed to be.
Yeah. Get out of here. You're trolling. 713-780-ESPN's your number if you want to get in. 713-780-3776. Anything else impress you from the weekend, from games that we have not discussed?
No. You mentioned Western Michigan before I interrupted you. I love that team. They may be maybe UH's biggest threat as far as who's going to get that. I guess Boise State's up there too, but who's going to get that game at the end of the year?
Yeah, well, right now, UH is in a tough situation because they need Navy to keep winning. But if Navy keeps winning, they're not going to catch them.
Right.
So they're not going to have a shot at it. So, yeah, it's kind of in a bad situation there. I still think that
Boise's 6-0. I don't know who's going to beat them. They've got BYU this week. That might be their toughest game left.
And BYU is pretty serious. I mean, let's see what the line is, but I'll probably like BYU there. They've been really good against the spread this year, too.
Yeah.
So,
It's BYU plus 7.
That's a pretty good number.
Yeah.
I don't mind that. BYU left, and then, wow, nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad.
Yeah. At Air Force might be tough to finish the season, but
they shouldn't lose a game.
At Wyoming, San Jose is just dreadful. At Hawaii, they should beat them. UNLV.
You always mention Hawaii's pretty good at home.
Yeah.
Although they just lost
to UNLV, so all that faith that I built up in them is lost again. But, yeah, Air Force. At last game against Air Force. If they don't lose here, I guess if you're a UH fan and you're hoping that you've got a shot at it, you better root for BYU Thursday night. Make sure that gets rid of one pesky problem for you. But you're also – I don't think they – I would say if I had to put a percentage on it, I'd say there's a 3% chance of them getting that bowl game now.
Yeah.
Just because they still have to finish ahead of these other teams. And Navy, I don't know if Navy's got 2 losses left on its schedule.
No, I don't think so.
And, yeah. And a lot of people asking if you have any betting opinions on the game tonight or how you see the game going tonight. I don't. I'm just going to sit this one out and I'm not even all that interested in it.
I'm not interested in it either. I mean, but if I had to make a play on it, I'd like Arizona. I think 7.5. I'm willing to give that. I don't think the Jets have anything for that team. And I think Arizona's starting to kind of get things right. And, you know, most of their problems have come from Ryan Fitzpatrick giving the ball to the other team. And that's where Arizona's the best, is it taking the ball away from the quarterback. So I that would be my projection, is that Arizona just rolls these dudes.
What's the total on that, by the way?
I don't know off the top of my head.
I think I'd be interested in the under, but I don't know what the total is. Man, look at it, Navy schedule. They host Memphis. Memphis is pretty good.
It's 45.5, the total.
I might lean under on that.
Line's down to 7 for Arizona, by the way.
You might get it. If you get it under 7...
I'm not that greedy. I don't think that'll happen.
I'm just not.
I may play for the push.
I'm not into the game. So, but they play at Memphis and then at South Florida. So that's 2 games they could lose in conference.
That's true.
And, you know, they get Tulsa at home, at East Carolina. That's never an easy trip. And then SMU, which is an easy trip. But, yeah, that's what you need. But if you do that, then that makes that loss look worse. It's just a tough spot. 713-780 ESPN 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. A lot more to get to.
All right, guys, going to tell you about Allied Outdoor Solutions. And if you want to get your backyard looking sexy, Allied Outdoor Solutions is the way to go. These guys can do everything in your backyard. You want a custom outdoor kitchen, you want a water feature, a fire feature, a covered patio. They can do it all. And the other thing they can do is this carved stone overlay. If you wouldn't put down stone in your backyard, you've probably looked into it and realized it is so expensive to tear everything out and put down that stone. Well, that's where carved stone comes in. It gives you the look of real stone on your existing surface for way less money. It's troweled, hand-carved, custom-colored for your home, so it looks great. It's very durable, twice as strong as concrete. And Allied stands behind it with a 7-year warranty. They can help you with residential and commercial projects. Save yourself that hassle and expense of tearing everything out and starting over. Get a carved stone overlay for the look and feel of real stone for less money from Allied Outdoor Solutions. Stop by their showroom, I-10 in the Beltway, and check out what they can do for you. You'll be blown away at your options there. You can check out the Carved Stone Projects photo gallery at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com or call for a risk-free estimate. 713-465-0400 for Allied Outdoor Solutions.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Your home for Aggie sports. Stay sportsy.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. I have kind of gotten to where I'm not paying any attention to the politics that are going on anymore.
You've given up hope.
I've given up hope, but I don't know if you saw what happened. The Arizona Republic, which is obviously in the heart of a very Republican state, came out and endorsed Hillary Clinton. And, well, first off, I've always been against newspapers endorsing candidates. I have a real problem with that, but they do it, and you know, they think they know more than us, so okay. So they endorsed Hillary Clinton, and some of the stuff that they got in response, you're dead, watch your back, we will burn you down, you should be put in front of a firing squad as a traitor. Do we have some of the...
We have their official statement that was posted on, I think, their Facebook page. They started off with a statement, and then they played a video with words, which obviously it doesn't go over well on radio, but they opened it up for questioning, and I have the official statement.
How long is that? Is it worth?
It's 90 seconds. Do you want to play it or no?
Yeah, let's do it.
So people ask us, why do you make an endorsement, especially in polarized times like these? Well, because it's part of the key part of our mission. We study the issues, we inform voters, and we foster debate. We educate and we empower. We know our endorsement will not sit well with probably half of you. Arizona is now a battleground state in the presidential election. Our own polling shows candidates neck and neck in Arizona. And let's make this clear. We're not telling you how to vote. We respect the sanctity of your decision based on your beliefs, research, and contemplation. Our goal is to examine the issues and tell you who we think would be best to address them based on research, interviews, and analysis. We want to help readers think critically about the issues. This election is too important for us not to speak up.
Our editorial board's DNA is strongly conservative. The Arizona Republic wrote in a 1940 endorsement that FDR's administration was, quote, cruel and tyrannical. Our 1960 endorsement compared JFK to a, quote, hazy-headed high school kid. So there's no historical love for Democrats. In fact, we have always endorsed Republicans over Democrats for president. That's 126 years of this paper going to bat for conservative ideas.
And that's what makes this endorsement so special. For the first time in this newspaper's history, we're endorsing a Democrat. The Arizona Republic editorial board endorses Hillary Clinton for president.
Boy, they're really kind of arrogant, aren't they?
A little bit.
Yeah. It's like, oh, we don't want to tell you who to vote for.
Is that really what's going to like sway people? Oh, well, no. The newspaper said I should vote for Hillary Clinton.
Well, that and, you know, well, we've done all the research so you can make an informed decision.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing that work for me.
Yeah.
Luckily, I have this thing called the internet.
Yeah, and websites and TV shows to watch.
Yeah.
things of that nature. So
I saw a thing. I didn't get to watch it, but John Oliver, I guess his latest episode was about the third party. I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah, I have not seen it yet. We'll probably watch it after the game tonight or tomorrow morning, but I had to get caught up on Westworld first. That's sort of my number one priority right now. Plus, I've kind of had to back off of John Oliver because everything is about Trump or Hillary right now, which I get why they're doing it, but I'm so sick of it. I just don't want to hear anymore. I know. I'm a horrible American. Yeah. But I there's nothing at this point that's going to convince me of anything other than just two really awful choices. Oh, well. So apparently, when you guys were going through the list on Twitter, all the Texans players we've killed.
Yeah.
On this show?
On this station.
On this station, yeah. Well, I know Owen Daniels. Dante Robinson?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. I remember that vaguely. Who else did we kill? Danielle Manning.
Yeah.
We did that one. That was on us.
That was on us. Yeah. He had to do... Did we do one or two seasons with Danielle? Two, right?
Yeah, we did two.
Yeah, yeah.
One of those seasons was spent basically entirely in a cask. Like it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one wasn't good. Dwayne Brown.
Yeah. Although, did he get hurt when he was with us?
I don't think he got hurt with us.
No, I don't think he did.
I don't remember.
We had DJ Swag.
That was such a fail.
He didn't get hurt, I don't think, but I think he...
He got cut.
He got cut.
The following year.
He was in concussion protocol, at least unofficial concussion protocol, the entire time he was on the air with us. And now Quentin Dimps, who had to miss the game.
Yeah. Hopefully his is minor. God, we've had a lot of players run through here, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
One last Texan thing that we hadn't had a chance to get to, but there was a report out that Brock and O'Brien had clashed a little bit during the week. Said, according to the source, Osweiler objected to some play calling decisions during a routine meeting reviewing the Week 5 loss. O'Brien, of course, took over play calling duties 2 weeks ago. And he and the head coach subsequently had a loud, charged interaction after that meeting that did not go unnoticed by others, according to Jason LaCanfora. In other words, they yelled at each other.
Yeah.
Going to happen. It's going to happen with coaches and quarterbacks. You know who else he yelled at? Tom Brady on the sidelines once. You might remember that. So.
I just wonder when he's going to keep his promise. Stop throwing interceptions.
Well, he at least had more touchdowns than interceptions.
He did do that.
And it all came in the last 4 minutes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I that's the one thing I'll take away from it as a positive is that he was clutch down the stretch when they needed it. And that's something they haven't had in a while.
Yeah.
And hopefully... You don't need it a lot because you're not down that much to a team that you should be crushing, but that's all right. It's hard to find positives with this team. Even at 4, other than they're 4-2 and they've now got a 2-game lead on the one team that I think they have to worry about in the division.
Yep.
And I hope they can play better. That's it.
The one team you're worried about being the Colts?
Yeah.
I'm starting to wonder if the Titans are better than the Colts.
They may be, but I do think the Texans are better than the Titans. And
well, they already beat them, too, so, I mean, that's the good thing.
And if you keep doing that, but it's like we're saying before, I want them to be better than that. I want them to not just win their division, but be an actual threat to not get shut out by 30-0 in the playoffs, which it's not really – I haven't seen anything to discourage me from thinking that right now. And just want to see progress. That's all. Out to hate him or anything else.
You're such a hater.
Apparently. I don't know why.
That's all right.
Maybe I'm a closet Cowboy fan.
Could be.
I have to hate the Texans.
Could be.
Apparently, that's still a thing. I'm going to start unfriending everybody on Facebook who posts Cowboys versus Texans stuff.
That is obnoxious. You know, as you look down the Texans schedule,
yeah,
this is the good thing. And this is why, Fred, we'll probably deal with this all season long. is watching this team and being frustrated that they're not good, but they're probably going to win a lot more games because most of these teams on their schedule are teams that I think they're still better than. You know, the Broncos, I don't think they'll beat the Broncos.
No.
But the rest of their schedule is Lions, Jags. The Raiders will be a tough game.
Yeah, I think that's a coin flip game.
The Chargers?
That might turn into a coin flip game, too. The Chargers are not bad. They just have choked away some games.
I mean, at Packers, at Colts will be tough, I guess.
Jags, Bengals, and at
Jags,
Titans.
Bengals, Titans. I mean, it's a... As much as I think the Texans are mediocre, that just tells you how many teams in the league are mediocre, because I think all those teams are very winnable games. I think with the exception of the Broncos and probably the Raiders, I'd say the Texans are as good or better than every other team on their schedule.
Probably so.
So if they do what they're supposed to do, then they'll be 12-4. And they'll probably get...
They're not going to be 12-4.
No, they probably won't, because teams that play like they do...
They're going to lose
some of those games.
Yeah.
And like I said, if the Colts had any sense in their heads, they would have kicked a field goal last night on 4th-and-1, and they would have won this game. And then it'd be really up in the air what the Texans season looks like going forward, because they'd be 3-3 right now.
About staring 3-4 in the face.
Yeah, and not in first place anymore.
Yeah, I could see them losing to a team like the Lions. I could see the Chargers jumping up and beating them.
I think any road game for them is tough.
Well, those are...
That includes at Jacksonville, at Tennessee.
Yeah. I don't know. I think they can beat those teams just because they always do.
Well, hell, the Colts always beat them. Times are a-changing.
Yeah, but that's more of the Colts going the other way than anything.
Yeah.
And that I don't know what's happening with those guys. They have done such a horrible job of drafting. How that guy still has a job, I don't know.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about Window World of Houston. And not only do they provide premium quality replacement windows at a fantastic price, just $189, by the way, but their energy-saving windows are made right here in America, and they carry the Good Housekeeping seal of approval. Window World, they've become the country's number one window company by offering a lifetime warranty, transferable, that includes glass breakage, a higher quality product, and a low price that starts at just $189. The first step to reducing your energy bills, call Window World of Houston to schedule your free written estimate. Absolutely no hassles or high pressure. It's a free estimate, guys. You've got nothing to lose. They're going to come out. They're going to tell you what it'll take to get the job done. If you like it, cool. They'll get to work, and most of their projects take less than a day to finish. And if you don't like it, cool. They'll pack up and leave. No big deal. Call 713-439-1172 or go to windowworldhouston.com. That's 713-439-1172 or windowworldhouston.com. Doors and siding also available. Window World, simply the best for less.
Listening to The Blitz.
Hold on to your butt.
On ESPN 97.5.
Got to tell you about Dick's Sporting Goods. They're opening 10 new stores in 6 different locations around Houston on October 21st. Willowbrook Mall, Deerbrook Mall in Humble, the Woodlands Mall, First Colony Mall, and Katy and Baybrook have huge buildings that actually house 3 stores, a Dick's, a Field & Stream, and a Golf Galaxy all in one building. Everything from snow ski gear to biking gear, clothes, sneakers, backpacks, fishing, water sports, your basic workout and outdoor gear, team sports equipment, footwear, apparel. Every athlete's need is right there under one roof. And they're going to be giving away a ton of prizes, over 10,000 prizes. They're going to have over 40 athletes and celebrities appearing in their stores during the opening weekend. I'll be at Willowbrook Mall on Saturday from 1 to 3 with Rockets legend Mario Elie. Guys, there's no reason not to stop by and check out the deals they're going to have at Dick's Sporting Goods. They've got some great in-store services as well. Get your golf clubs fitted or try out one of your new driver in a virtual hitting bay at one of the Golf Galaxy stores. To find out more about the celebrations Dick's is planning for their grand opening weekend, visit dicks.com/Houston and find the one closest to you. Willowbrook, Deerbrook, the Woodlands, First Colony, Katy, and Baybrook. They're all going to be celebrating all weekend long. Once again, for more details, dicks.com/Houston.
listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
Hey, speaking of Dick's, we're so excited about Dick's Sporting Goods coming to Houston. We talked them into giving away gift cards. How about this?
Nice.
Win a $50 Dick's Sporting Goods gift card. You can come out this weekend and use it for the big grand opening. ESPN 97.5 will be at the new Katy, Baybrook, and Willowbrook locations. Log on to ESPN975.com to find out when, where, and who will be our guest hosts and special sports celebrity guests. We already know one of those. Dick's Sporting Goods has everything you could possibly need for your favorite sport. Check them out at dickssportinggoods.com. We'll do caller 20. All right, let's do the dumbass report.
All right, let's start in Tucson, where a man had to be rescued from a chimney. When will they learn?
It's not Christmas. It wasn't
no.
Santa Clausing it.
According to a post on Tucson Fire Department's Facebook page, a 26-year-old man was rescued Sunday morning after firefighters lowered a rope into the chimney to pull him out. The man got far enough that his feet were touching the floor of his house. However, he ultimately got stuck because of the decreased diameter near the fireplace. That's how chimneys work, guys.
Yeah.
You see him on the roof, and you're like, wow, that's pretty big.
Yeah, I could get through there.
Doesn't work that way. After he was pulled out, the man told firefighters he locked his keys in the house and was just trying to get back inside. A neighbor heard him screaming for help and called the fire department. I feel like we have a story like this once a year.
Yeah. And they're just lucky somebody heard him yelling.
Yeah.
Imagine getting stuck in there and nobody hears you and you die that way. How stupid would that be?
That's a rough way to go. A man with a pair of underwear covering his face who wanted prescription drugs tried to rob a Lexington Walgreens on Saturday night. The man was armed with a steak knife. Now, I just want you to have a mental picture of a man with underwear on his face and a steak knife in his hand demanding the biggest bottle of Percocet they have. Boyle said the man left, quote, once he realized that the pharmacy was closed. So those Walgreens, they have late hours. The pharmacy closes, you know, at a relatively early hour. So the guy ran into a Walgreens with a steak knife and underwear on his head and still didn't get any.
L-O-L.
Yeah. But apparently, police unsuccessfully tried to find the man using a helicopter. So that underwear mask, this guy's really worked.
So let this be a lesson to you. An underwear mask will hide you from helicopters.
Yeah. Rich Moore is in court. He had to pick up his stuff from home and leave because he got a little rough with some of his ex's property. He got jealous that she was using a vibrator and said that, quote, she loved it more than she loved me, and I bought it for her. So he destroyed it, smashed it.
It's not cool. Those things aren't cheap either.
Yeah, he'd gone to pick up his stuff after they'd broken up and found that and destroyed it. And he's 33. He admits that he had used the device on her before, but he said that he tore it to pieces. He also destroyed her sunglasses, valued at over $300. He said, I was fed up. She moved on to another fella. She moved another fella into the house pretty much straight away after I paid for her to go on a holiday. And he decided that he was coming across his stuff. He found the glasses and smashed them. Then he found the other toy and smashed it. It was one of those bullet ones. He said, she loved it more than she loved me. That's why I busted it. I bought it. I didn't care. Sarah complained to the cops, and Rich was charged with criminal damage over the incident. He contests the value of the sunglasses, which he says were only $30 sunglasses, not $300. He's saying she had knockoffs. But he said that the vibrator was indeed a $40 vibrator. So he was willing to pay for that.
Exactly.
He's been released on conditional bail until October 19th. So we'll see how it turns out. But
sound snap.
Yeah. That is your dumbass report, Fred.
Oh, boy. Just
keep going.
Just for another minute.
Okay. Okay, stop. Whew. Thanks, John.
Speaking of that, Did you see that Billy Bush is leaving the Today Show?
Is that voluntary?
No. I mean, it says he's leaving it, but NBC sent out a note that basically they're firing him.
Yeah, so. Pretty much.
I'll be honest. I had never heard of that guy until the stuff came out. I don't know anything about him, but he must be a big news because Today Show, that's pretty big, right?
Yeah.
Pay those guys a lot.
Yep.
So, dust in the wind for him. That is that.
Well, friend, it was a bittersweet show. The Texans won.
Yeah.
We celebrated them accordingly, I think.
Did we?
I think so.
Okay.
I think that was a fair celebration.
I think we were fair. I don't know that the word celebration should come into it. We gave credit where it was due. We also brought up some question marks.
Jong, did you go to a wedding this weekend?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yeah, because he fooled me with his Facebook post.
Did that? Did that bring up any further discussion of you and Teresa going forward?
No.
You're going out on that. You're not gonna give in, I guess.
Well, he threw me off like last week. I guess he threw you off with the photo, but the one they had posted about what a great wedding it was and them together.
You thought he got married without telling us?
I did a double take for a second, and then I'm like, oh, he's just doing
no,
it again.
No. It was a hashtag to where they, on the big screens at the wedding, they were posting pictures from the hashtag. So we decided to post a picture from we got ready, and we were about to leave. We took a picture, and we're like, hey, they're doing hashtags. And we hashtagged it, posted it, and it was on the big screen.
But there was something about wedding in the hashtag.
Yeah, it was a lovely wedding was the...
That's what it was.
A lovely... Hashtag a lovely wedding
and it was.
It was
a beautiful photo, you guys. And when I saw that, I'm like, oh, they snaked this. And then I realized, no, it's just John trolling us again. So...
I wouldn't say trolling.
Well, it's kind of trolling.
A little bit.
Yeah. All right, guys. Got to tell you about Houston Can Academies. And just a terrific school. And now the school started, they need your help more than ever because they take in kids who've dropped out of other schools. They give them a second chance. Whatever reason they had to drop out for, they're going to work around them. And that just, they graduate great kids, and that just makes us all better. And so many of them are doing great things, and they would have never had this chance without Houston Can Academy. And without your help, Houston Can Academy, they need it to do these great things for these kids. Here's what they need, just a vehicle. Doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in. Maybe you were going to trade it in. Maybe you were going to fix it up. Maybe the floods messed it up. You just never got around to doing anything with it. Well, doesn't matter. Cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, RVs, running or not, they're going to come and tow it free of charge. They process all the paperwork. It's a fast, easy way to do it. And your donation's tax deductible. So at the end of the year, you're going to be able to write that off your taxes. And you're going to get rid of something that you don't need anymore. And you're going to do a good thing. If you donate today, you're also going to get a $50 Visa gift card. Give them a call, 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226. Or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.